take place just as the Lord has given to us, even though some of these things we don't understand, and some of them we can't get the whole view of everything. We get enough view to understand that we don't want to be a part of that time that's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of the tribulation, the great tribulation that comes upon this earth as a judgment of God upon a people that have rejected His Son. Everything in this world, everything in the heavenly world is all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center, focal point of all of history. And so we find that men have rejected Him. Mankind destroys every evidence of the Lord that they can. And when you get to the Revelation chapter 4, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is raptured out. We're taken to go to be with the Lord. And John sees all these things that we have read about in these chapters here in Revelation. But when you come to chapter 21, you come to where things are made new. Thank God it's not going to stay as it is. We have some new things ahead of us. And the Lord gives us a little preview when we look into these verses and these chapters, a little bit of a preview of what He has in store for those that love Him. We primarily, we talk about a heaven. Sometimes it's called and classified by different terminology in different places. We call the we reference it as a country. We're going to a land that's fairer than day. We find that it's also talked about as a city. We find the scripture gives us that heaven sometimes is given to us as a as the kingdom. It's paradise. It's the Father's house. It's those adjective terms that tell us what is before us as the people of the Lord. But you come to chapter number 21 and chapter number 22, the Lord makes all things new. New heaven, new earth, and so many different things that are listed in these last two chapters of things that are new. The book of the Revelation has traced the history of the church and the history of Israel and also the Gentile nations throughout history to this present age, and Satan and his wicked cohorts have tried to destroy the plan of God. They've tried to do away with everything the Lord had in store for the people of God. But when you come to these last two chapters, we find that God reverts things back to what He desires for it to be. There are seven new things that are mentioned in these last two chapters. I'm going to just list them for you, and then we'll look at them either tonight or some next Sunday. But we find that there's a new heaven, and we find that in chapter 21. In chapter 21 also, we find that there's a new earth. We recognize new heaven, new earth. There's new inhabitants. There's a new city called Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. There's a new temple. And there's a new source of light, and there is a new paradise. And so these things are all mentioned in these last two chapters of the book of Revelation. And just as there are some things that are new, there are some things that will not be in heaven, and thank God for that. Heaven's a place where all things are well, all things are good. We'll find tonight that there's nothing that will enter into heaven that is defiled, and nothing that will defile, because it's the perfect place that the Lord has for us, this place that we'll be looking at, the new heaven, new earth. The Bible tells us there's no more sea, there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, no more crying, no pain, there's no human temple, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no night, and no abomination. So there's a lot of things that are not going to be in heaven. And those are things that we don't need and will not ever desire ever again. Thank God we're going to a land where there's no more pain. We're going to a land where there's no more suffering and no more crying. And above all, there's no more death. When we get to this place, when we come to Revelation chapter 21, chapter 22, we're coming to a place where everything is eternal and it's everlasting. So let's look here in these verses tonight. And we'll go through these as best we can. and note some things concerning these places and or this place that the Lord has prepared for us. In verse number 1, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We noticed that last Sunday night when the Bible tells us in chapter number 20 that those things are cast into the lake of fire. Verse number 14, this is the second death. We noted last week that if you're born once, you die twice. If you're just born physically, you're going to die physically and you're going to die spiritually. That second death will have overtaken you. But thank God we can be born twice. We have that new birth, being born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and therefore we only die one time, and that's physical, because we have an eternity and eternal life before us. And so this old order of things in chapter 21 and chapter 22, the old order is passing away. The old way of life is no longer available. It's no longer there. And John just merely states that heaven, the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. He does not give any of the details. I've heard a lot of summations and a lot of ideas on how that takes place, but it's just a thought. There's nothing in the scripture that tells us completely for sure about that, but John just tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth are passed away, and how that takes place and the extent of that, we do not know. We do know that the Apostle Paul tells us that he was caught up into the third heaven. And we have three heavens that's mentioned to us in the scripture. We know that there is the atmosphere heaven where we live. We breathe the air of the atmosphere, and that is classified or is given to us as an abode or a place of heaven. That's the first heaven. Then there's the outer space that we see, the planets, the stars. That's also considered one of the heavens of God. And then the third heaven is the dwelling place of our Lord. And the Apostle Paul was caught up into that third heaven, and there he said he saw things that was unlawful for him to speak about. So the way of having a new heaven, a new earth, it could be that God does away with this completely, or that he renovates and gives us a renovated earth and a new earth a certain special way. We know that years ago with Noah and the flood, God gave a new earth after the flood. God destroyed the first earth, and he gave a new position, a new place. And we know that God did that, and it's abundant evidence that this earth, we know, according to 2 Peter chapter number 3, that this earth that we're living on right now will be purged by fire. God judged Noah in his day by the flood, and he said that he would never destroy the earth again by water, but he does destroy it by fire. And we read that in 2 Peter chapter 3, Luke chapter number 17. And so there, one way or another, God's going to give a new heaven and a new earth. This is not just a New Testament teaching, but it's also an Old Testament, because Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, I believe we read this last week, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." So there's the passing of the old. Where we are right now, the earth that we're on right now, one day there will be a new earth and a new place for us to be. In verse number 2, we have the presentation of something that's totally different, something that's new. Verse number 2 says, "I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." And he tells us exactly what the new city is for. It's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so we have a new city. And these are things that we can only fathom. We can only imagine some of the details about that. We have very few things given to us in the Scripture. We'll look at some of them tonight as far as this new city that we have. But we do know that there is a presentation of a new Jerusalem. That means there's two Jerusalems. We have an earthly and another, the heavenly. It is in this earthly Jerusalem that Christ established his throne. We've looked in our study. We have found that Jesus established his throne in chapter 19, chapter 20. We found that it was established for how long? For 1,000 years. He sits upon the throne of David from the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is existing tonight. It has existed for centuries, and it will continue to exist, and it will be the abode. It will be the place of the throne of David. It will be the place where Jesus rules from during the millennial kingdom. After the tribulation is over, that 1,000-year period, the Lord is going to rule upon this earth. I think it was last week we dealt a little bit about that millennial, how sometimes it's a little difficult for us to imagine and to comprehend that people are going literally as human beings, as people, will go literally into the kingdom of the Lord. And that will be the fulfillment of "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," that's given to us in the Gospels. And Jesus will establish that kingdom. There will be families, there will be nations, there will be commerce, there will be activities that go on during that time, just like there are activities upon this earth now, only yet without sin. And what a great world it will be, what a great place it will be. This new Jerusalem, this Jerusalem that's earthly, is the place where every person will desire to be and desire to come to see the King of all glory. And he will rule. He will be the supreme ruler. He will be a political, social leader that will have total control of everything that takes place on this earth. But here we read that there's a new Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. It's a place that is prepared for the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied that back a few chapters about the bride of Christ. This holy city, the Lamb's wife, this city that comes down from God out of heaven, I believe is just as literal a city as where we are sitting tonight is a literal building. And it gives us a little bit of details about this building. And it is descending from God out of heaven, and it will be the dwelling place of Christ. He will move from the earthly Jerusalem, and he will move to the heavenly Jerusalem, and there be the husband, or to be the one that we will adore and we will worship all throughout those years of eternity. And there's the bride of Christ. We'll dwell with him in that perfect place, and we see it given to us here in verse number 2. And so we find that a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, and then there's a new people that we read in verse. Scripture says the tabernacle of God is with men. That tabernacle just simply means the dwelling place of God. God is going to dwell with us, and we're going to dwell with him, and he is going to be the tabernacle with man. The Bible tells us here that The one that is established here is the Alpha and the Omega. This is not the first time that Revelation uses that term, Alpha and Omega. In the Greek language, Alpha is the first letter of their alphabet, and then Omega is the last. So Jesus is the first and the last, and I'm glad to declare to you tonight that he's all that's in between. He's everything that there is with this world. And so Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that, and this claim has been before that. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, if you would. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 6, but let's go back to verse number 5. It says, "One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord," verse 6, "thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." So long time before John gives us this revelation in his book of John, his books of John and Revelation, Isaiah said he is declared as the first and the last, the God of all people. And so we find here that Jesus is the one that establishes himself. He is he's the center figure, and he makes all things new. And he's the first and the last that's given unto us, anyone that could come and to take of the water of life freely. And notice verse number 8 here, and here's some that will not be in this city. Now, everywhere we look tonight, there are abominable things, there are sinful people, there are unbelievers, there are sorcerers, there's hormones. Everywhere we look tonight, there is sin on every corner. It's sin every time you turn the knob of your TV, every time you turn your volume up on your radio, every time you go to Walmart, every time you go downtown, every time you drive across the state. All that we see everywhere around us are those things that are mentioned here in verse number 8. But thank God, when we get into eternity, those things are passed away. Those things are gone. And Jesus Christ, thank God, he has set all things in order and all things as should be. Now we find in verse number 9 that this New Jerusalem is, we are given a few things about it. A lot of it is typology given to us, but a lot of it also is very, very literal. The Bible says in verse number 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, what's he going to show to him? He's going to show to him this new city, this new Jerusalem. And so one of the angels, and they come unto him, one of those seven angels that poured out the vials of wrath that we studied about just a few chapters back, comes to John and says, "You come here, I want to show you the bride's wife. I want to show you here this one," or the Lamb's wife, "this one that is come to present herself adorned as the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ." And so verse 10, he says, "This angel carried John away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." So we know immediately what John is going to see is the city that will house the bride of Christ. And that New Jerusalem is considered the dwelling place of the bride. And it says in verse 11, it says, "Having the glory of God, and her light as the light of the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at gate 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So here the angel is showing John a great and mighty city. He shows him the beauty of it. He shows him all the things that are listed here and how they represent the beauty of the Lord. And the John says he took me to a high mountain and he showed me this city, the holy city, descending from out of heaven from God. And he says, having the glory of God. So this city is not like any city that we have ever seen. It's a city like nothing that we could ever imagine. And he gives us just a few details, has 12 gates. Now 12 is a very important number. We have 12 tribes. We have 12 apostles. We have 12 gates. And those things are intertwined together here in this city. And these 12 gates, and at each one of the gates was an angel. There's 12 angels, and the names written on them were the names of the tribes of the children of Israel. And the foundation of the city had the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Notice verse number 16. And the city lieth four square. That just simply means it is a it's as big one way as it is another way. So this angel, as he talked with John, he has a golden reed, and that reed was a stick to measure the city that has come down from God out of heaven. So it's a four square city. It means it's just as long as it is wide and just as tall as it is long and wide. And so you can picture it as a cube, or as a in our mind, we could picture it as a square box, and that's the city that God shows to John. And he measures this out. Notice verse number 16. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So 12,000 furlongs, we'll get into that in just a moment. That's not in our Western culture what they're talking about here, and so I've tried to change it down a little bit as close as I could. A furlong, it was about almost 600 feet, and it's really 582 feet. And so the length of the city was 12,000 of those furlongs. You multiply that out, and you've got 6,984 feet. Now, that's a whole lot of feet. You divide that by 5,280. That's a mile. And I don't know why. I never did forget that. I was taught that in school. I know what a mile is. 5,280. You divide that into that 6,984,000, and you're going to come up with 1,323 miles. Right at it, just a little bit shy of that. So 1,323 miles one way, 1,323 that way, and guess what? It's 1,323 that way. That's a pretty good size box. That's a pretty good size cube. And it's called the City of God. It's the heavenly New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And it is the place, it is the abode of the bride of Christ. And it has, it tells us here about the gates. It tells us that had 12 gates, be 3 on each side. And then verse number 17, he measured the wall thereof. You notice, as we read just a moment ago, it says it had a great wall. Well, it is a great wall. The Bible says here, he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. 144 cubits. A cubic is approximately 18 inches. I hope I wrote all this down. Somewhere I did. I'll let you do it. I don't know where I wrote it down. I did the furlong, but I didn't write down the cubics. But you'll find that it is the wall of the city is almost right at 200 feet tall. Now, Mr. Trump talks about building a wall, but he's not going to build one that tall. He talks about building a wall on the border, but he's not going to build one 200 feet tall. But God says this city has a wall about it, and it's that tall. So many those cubics that are measured there, and the scripture tells us that he measured the wall 144 cubics. If you'll take 144, multiply it times 18 inches, divide by the 12 inches for a foot, you'll find out exactly what that is. And it's the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. We have never seen anything like this city. We have never experienced anything as beautiful as this place that God is preparing for his people. The scripture says here the wall is of jasper, the city pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stone. So here the foundation is, and it's just as beautiful as the gate. The gates were as of one pearl. The foundation, we don't think too much in a building about the foundation, and we usually cover that up. It's not very pretty to look at, and it's nothing that we desire to have showing. We cover the foundation up. But the foundation of this city is just as beautiful as all the other parts of the city. It's garnished with all manner of precious stone. And then he gives us these stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardox. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, I can't pronounce that one. The eighth is beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, I can't pronounce that one. But if you look these up, you'll find out these are very expensive, precious jewels as far as man is concerned. And God puts them as the foundation. We walk on the street of gold. We have the foundation of magnificent jewels, but yet that's not the main attraction. The main attraction is not the pure gold that looks as clear. It's not the sardis. It's not the different ones. But the main attraction of this building is none other than the groom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is that one. And so we find that his presence is there with all of mankind. And the scripture says here in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street was pure gold as it was transparent glass. I can't even fathom what the city looks like. 1,300 miles one way. If you go from New York and travel across our country, you'll be almost all the way across country at 1,300 miles. That's pretty good size landmass. And if you I went ahead and at one time I figured out how many square miles was in. I think it's about 1.7 million square miles in that just one level of it. And so it's a huge area. I believe there'd be plenty of space for God's people to enjoy and to have the blessings of the Lord. And so we find this order that God has given here is a place that has never been seen before. No place ever like it. Solomon had a great temple, but it's nothing like this. Solomon had built that temple, and God had given him the materials, and David prepared part of it. Solomon put it together, and it was the most magnificent building that had ever been built, and probably still would be one of the main buildings of the world if it stood. But it does not compare to what God is doing. God's never going to let man do what God can do. And so we have a heavenly city coming down from God out of heaven. It doesn't say it comes to the earth. It just comes down from God out of heaven. And that is a city that's adorned. That means it's made itself beautiful. And I believe what we've read tonight, we can find that it will be a beautiful place. We walk on gold. We have the street of gold. We have the gates of pearl. We have the foundation that's precious stone. We have all those things that are mentioned. And that's where we're going to spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a whole lot waiting for the child of God. There's a wonderful world that's ahead of us, and it is perfect in every way. The scripture says in verse number 22, "And I saw no temple therein." John said, I looked and I didn't see any temple. Now we know where the temple is. Always represents the presence of the Lord. When Solomon built his temple, there was the glory of God that came down, and that showed the presence of the Lord. When they had the tabernacle, the glory of God came down, and they knew God was in their midst. He tabernacled among men. When the church was established, the glory of the Lord came down, I believe on the day of Pentecost, showing his presence with God's people. But now in this new Jerusalem, this city that's prepared for the people of the Lord, John said, "I saw no temple therein." How come? He says, "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Thank God we don't need somewhere to go worship the Lord. We'll have him right there. He is the temple. He is that place of worship. So in this new eternity, there's not going to be a magnificent temple, but there is a magnificent city. And there we come, and there we worship our Lord. Verse number 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You cannot separate God from his Lamb or from his Son. So there's no temple there, no place for them to go to worship. He is the temple. And there's no need of the sun, no need of the moon, no need for those things to shine, because what's going to light this place is the glory of God. When the glory of God came down in the tabernacle and the temple, it was a magnificent illuminating light. Well, here in this new Jerusalem, God is that light. And John says, don't need any sun anymore. God put the sun in the sky to warm us, to keep us warm and to give light out of the darkness. But in this new Jerusalem, we don't need that, because the glory of the Lord lightens it, and the Lamb of God. In verse number 24, "And the nations of them which are saved." The nations which are saved. The saved out of of this world shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No 24-hour cycle. You know, when most mischief goes on is in the darkness of the hours. When most problems happen is when the light does not shine. But in this new Jerusalem, this city of the Lord, when it comes, there's no sun, because God is the glory. He is the light of it. And the gates are never shut. There's no harm. There's no need to shut the doors. I guarantee you tonight, when you left your house, you shut your door. Probably locked your door to keep an intruder out, to keep your things safe and secure. But when we get to heaven, the gates will never be shut. And they do not shut at night, because there is no night there. "And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Only people going to be in this place of eternity are saved people. People that their names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. The perfection of the city, the perfection of the order. This land of no mores. This land where there's no more sea, no more death, no more sorrow, no more weeping, no more sorrow at all. Nothing that would ever enter into defile. No more crying. I'm sure probably sometime this week somebody in this building has shed some tears. Some reason or another. It may be an emotional tear. It may be a physical hurt tear. But we shed our tears. That's something that God has given to us as to express our emotions. But when we get to this place, there's no more crying, no more dying, no more sorrow, no more weeping over different things and different people. The Bible says in Psalm number 30 and verse number 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'll tell you what we've read tonight in chapter 21. That's the morning of all eternity. It's a continual place. That's where we're headed as a believer, as a Christian. We have a great future. We have something that is beyond words. It's beyond explanation. And John did as he saw those things. He wrote them down to give to us some type of idea that we have a great home that's been prepared for us. When Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you, I sort of believe this is the place he's gone prepare. This is what he's working. This is what he's done. This is what he has for us. And so this land of no mores, this land where there be no more sorrow, but I like where it says, nothing shall enter in that is of an abomination. There's no sin. There's nothing that maketh a lie. Only those names that have been written in the Lamb's book of life. My name is there. I'm the only one I know for sure that I know is there. But my name is written there because one day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he became my Lord, my Savior. And you're the only one that can answer for you. But make sure your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. For this is our destination. This is where we are traveling to. This is where we will end up one day. Those that have gone on before us, they experience the joys and the beauty of the heaven that God has for them. But there's a greater day coming even for those folks, even for you and I. Because God says this has been prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A bride always is adorned, beautiful, and everything is right and perfect. And this is given here the exact replica of what God will have forth his people, that their names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. We read last week in chapter number 20, it says there at that white throne, the books were open and another book was open. And then it says, which is the book of life. And they're judged out of those things that are done. The life of those that are living. But you and I tonight, as a believer, we have a wonderful place we're going to. And our words, my words, especially, are very limited in our imagination even. But I cannot imagine a street that is pure gold. Pure that it looks like crystal clear. I can't imagine a foundation being one precious stone. I can't imagine the gate being one pearl. I can't imagine a wall 210, 12 feet tall. And all those things God has for you and I that have trusted him. There's a great day coming. Praise the Lord, there's a day headed for you and I that we can enjoy life eternal. I'd rather read chapter 21 any day as chapter 20. I'd rather read about the place God has prepared for the redeemed as I had read in chapter 20 of the place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, and men are cast there because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the winning side. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. Sometimes we may think it's not going to work. But I'll tell you what, in the end, what we've read tonight, our eyes shall behold. We can look at it through a dim, dark glass now, but one day we'll see it just as it is. And what a wonderful, beautiful place, as the songwriter did years ago, what a beautiful place heaven must be. Sweet home of the soul. Thank God that's where we're going as a child of the Lord. Chapter 20 gives us that, and we can rejoice in what He has prepared for us that love Him and the blessings that He has given to us. Let's stand together tonight and rejoice as we quickly go through these chapters. And next week we'll be in chapter 21, and that's the highlight. That's the last chapter, 21 and 22. And we'll see the new things here, chapter 22, next week, and look at those things that God has prepared for us and the joy that one day we'll all experience. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to experience the good things of the Lord. Let's be dismissed.